Now, in this passage, 1 Kings 22, 1 through 40, Micaiah represents the Lord Jesus Christ, the true prophet of God, the one true prophet of God. Jehoshaphat is the believer, and Ahab, the unbeliever. We know from the scriptures that Jehoshaphat did not do well in making an alliance here with Ahab. This is made clear elsewhere in the scripture. We might have judged that ourselves just knowing what we do about Ahab. Not a good idea to get into this alliance with him. But God used this nevertheless to bring about his sovereign and good purpose, as he always does. And see how that Jehoshaphat's first word in this whole thing, after the alliance is made, and the decision to go to war is made by the two men. The first thing Jehoshaphat says after that is what? Let's find out what God says. Let's find out what God says. That is true of every believer. It must be true of every believer. How can we do anything? How can we say anything? How can we decide anything until we know what God said? And I wonder if this is us. Is every decision you make, consequential ones like this, is it informed by finding out what God says? I believe that's a clear lesson in this. And do you know how in right now, in 2023, we can find out what God says? We're doing it right now. We find out what God says from his word, from studying his word, from hearing his gospel. And does his will determine your actions? Does who he is cause everything about you to fall into priority? What he's revealed about himself, is that your guiding light in all that you do? Got to be, doesn't it? Got to be. Maybe Jehoshaphat was already having second thoughts about this. Maybe he didn't feel comfortable once he met with Ahab here. Maybe he got to thinking about who this idiot was, this godless, horrible reprobate. For whatever reason, he said, let's inquire of the Lord. Let's inquire of the Lord. What he may or may not have realized is that inquiring of the Lord meant something different to Ahab than it did Micaiah. But we do surely act the way we act in this world. May it be so because of who God is. God says, don't lie to one another. And by his grace, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Why? Because God hates a lying tongue. But think about what a lie says. A lie is told in order to manipulate outcomes. I told my mom a few lies, you know, when I was little, to manipulate the outcome so that it didn't include a butt whipping for me. That's just the truth. That's why we lie. To make things turn out the way we want them to. It's a denial of God. He's the one who determines outcomes. Do you think you're going to stop what God's going to do by you manipulating with your lies and your deceit? Ahab wasn't able to do that, and you won't be either. And I won't be either. A lie is more than just... is it bad enough that God hates it? But I think the big part of why he hates it is you're trying to be God, only you're doing it with your evil. You're trying to manipulate the outcome of something. You're trying to have an influence on the way things pan out. How about appealing to the one who determines all outcomes? You see how a lie is just, it's subversive of that. We don't steal. We don't steal. Why? Well, of course, because God has commanded us, thou shalt not steal. But what I'm saying here is that if I take that which doesn't belong to me, if I steal something, I'll be richer. I'll benefit from that. Believers hold up their hands to God. That's not how we get ahead in this life, by cheating and stealing. By God's grace, we don't. You see, because of who He is, I must act the way I act. If I think, oh, I'm going to be ahead, that's going to benefit me, that's going to benefit my family, will we have the audacity to suggest that God's providence for me is not good enough? I've got to supplement that with my conniving and my evil? We could go on and on about that, but you see how Jehoshaphat, he seems to have been guilty here of thinking that he needed Ahab's approval. He's trying to get in good with Ahab. Ahab is powerful. He's over Israel. And Jehoshaphat seems to think he needs him, but he didn't. He didn't need Ahab. And God took him away. I believe He does that for us. When we make horrible decisions and we try to determine outcomes in our favor, God blows it up. He just blew it up completely. Killed Ahab. Like He said He would. To show, for one reason, to show Jehoshaphat, you don't need him. And so that's from the Word of God. That wasn't a good idea. But in his dealings with Ahab, he wanted to know what God said. And he wanted to act accordingly. Inconsistent, as all believers are. But can we not learn from both his mistake and how God blessed him to do the right thing? And then Ahab brings in these 400 prophets that are just imposters. They tell Ahab what he wants to hear. 400 of them said exactly the same thing. And it was exactly what Ahab wanted to hear. And think about this for a minute. We know that Ahab, he just wants to hear good about himself. We see that in verse 8. No, he just wants to hear good. I hate that prophet. I hate Micaiah because he doesn't tell me anything good about me. That's all he wants to hear. And in that same verse, we see that why he hates Micaiah is because he tells the truth. Because he tells the truth. Ahab may not have phrased it that way. I hate you because you tell the truth. But that's why he hated him. The others he don't hate. He loves them. Let's bring in the 400 prophets. Why? Because they tell him what he wants to hear. And they had a history of that. Because he singled out Micaiah, didn't he? And said, he never tells me anything good about myself. All these others do. I don't hate any of them. This is the religious unbeliever. Ahab represents the unbeliever, the Antichrist religious. He had 400 prophets. He just wants to hear good things about himself. And false prophets give them what they want, don't they? They give them what they want. It's all up to you. I'm so glad. You know, people are so glad about that. It's all up to me. Well, that's great. Not so great. Not so great. When you hear the truth You all have a spark of good deep down. You just need to fan it into a flame. All you got to do is walk this aisle. The power is in your hands. If you just come down here, walk this aisle, make a decision, repeat after me, everything's going to be good. You have the power. Your decision is the only thing that matters. That's what they're telling. Doesn't matter what God's done or doesn't done. It's all down to you deciding for Jesus. Your will. They'll tell you this. Your will is inviolable. Even God in heaven can't thwart or violate your free will. God loves you. Can you read the Bible and realize what a horrible thing to say that is? Can you read the Bible and understand what a horrible blasphemy it is to say that Christ died for everybody? And if somebody comes along and tells the truth, which is bad regarding man, it's not good news at first. It's not good news about you, ever. The unbeliever will hate him for it. It's not just, oh, well, you believe what you want and I'll believe what I want. They hate you because they hate your Lord. He said they hated me first and they're going to hate you next. He said, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked about it. Our Lord Jesus Christ did exactly that. He came along and told the truth. And they hated him for it. They absolutely hated him for it. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And there he is saying, I came here to bear witness unto the truth. And the fact that when he said that, he's standing before Pilate. And we know why. And we know the result of that. At that very moment, we know what's fixing to happen. And all of that shows what those who are not of the truth think of the Savior and of his bearing witness to the truth. They hated him. We hated him. What is the truth? Well, the truth about man is found also in verse 8. But look at the wording of it in verse 18. It's repeated again by Ahab himself. Ahab is the one that said this. But he doesn't ever say anything good about me. That's the one you want to listen to right there. The king of Israel, verse 18, said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy? What? No good. What's the gospel message to sinners? No good. There is none good. No, not one. No good concerning me. Only evil. Only evil. That's the truth now. That's the truth about sinners. And so you see how this pictures the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ to sinners. We need him. We're evil. There's nothing good about us. We can't do anything. We aren't anything. We're wretched in the sight of God. Totally helpless. And the Lord Jesus alone, he's the only one who will tell sinners that. Those who speak for him say what he said. And he's the true prophet of God that puts us to understanding what we are. Totally and helplessly depraved. And that word helplessly is a key doctrine in the scripture. You can talk about how bad we are and write big old books about it, but unless you mention that, the word helplessly depraved. Just as important as knowing how evil we are is knowing how impotent we are to do anything about it. With men, it is impossible. That's key. And you're not going to look to Christ until you run out of money. And only grow worse. And the only way to get a glimpse of how evil we are is to look to Calvary. To see beyond the cruel crown of thorns. To see more than the nails piercing his hands. To get a view of what he looked like when Pilate said, "Behold the man, swollen and beaten, punched in the face, the tatters of his back." And yet to understand beyond that, that the very wrath of God was poured out upon him there. All hell was unleashed upon our Savior to torment and to punish. And in our evil nature, we imagine that he was getting what he deserved. And from the very throne of God, we're rebuked for that. In Isaiah 53:4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted." But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. The gospel of our Savior reveals the condition from which he saved us, which is what Ahab said, "No good, only evil." God saw that the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And then he determined to pour out his wrath, and he told Noah to build an ark. That's the gospel. The believer wants the truth by God's grace. Jehoshaphat said, "Let's find out what God says." He heard the false prophets. Jehoshaphat heard all of them, and it was evident to him. It was clear as bell. It wasn't hard to figure out what they were doing. Is it now for you? Can you listen to one of them people? Keep it nice. Can you listen to them for 5 minutes and not see what they're up to? He heard the false prophets and he wasn't buying it. He said, "Isn't there somebody that we can call forward to tell us the truth? Isn't there anybody?" And these religious bozos that claim to speak for God in our day, they're not fooling us. That's by the grace of God. By God's grace, they're not fooling us. It's evident to us, as it was to Jehoshaphat here. He insisted on hearing from Christ himself. The man who pictured Christ in the spiritual version of this story. Jehoshaphat said, "We need to hear from the Lord. We need to hear from the Lord." That's what you're doing when you listen to a preacher who says what God said. You're hearing from the Lord, not from me. I didn't come here to tell you what I think. came here to tell you what God said. And that's how the Lord speaks to sinners. How can I accept some man should guide me? And look at verse 11 with me. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, one of the false prophets, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until you have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord. No, he didn't. God never said that. He's a liar. He's telling Ahab what he wants to hear. He said, thus saith the Lord, but it was obvious to Jehoshaphat that the Lord did not thus say. It's that way now. By the grace of God, we have some discernment that when we hear a lie told about our Savior, we know we haven't heard from Him. And all we want is to hear from Him. This is Zedekiah. What a picture of false religion. He used visual aids. They still do. They still do. If it's on a chalkboard, if I started putting stuff on a chalkboard up here, it's got to be right, huh? Because the teacher always put, you know, what the teacher put on the chalkboard was law. A lot of people using chalkboards. Crosses and chalices and beads and statues and thus saith the Lord. But it's ridiculous on the face of it. Iron horns. Micaiah was pressured to say what Ahab wanted to hear. The messenger that went to Micaiah said, Matt, this is what all of God's preachers are saying. And we need you to say the same thing. There was a clear threat insinuated if Micaiah didn't say exactly what all the false prophets had said. But look at Micaiah's response in verse 14. What I'm going to say is what God said. That's what a preacher does. You can see that. We stick to the word, don't we? We stick close. We don't use the scriptures to support our message. The scriptures are the message. The word of God is the message. I'm going to say what God said. Listen to John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. You see how Micaiah represents the prophet of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to say what God said. That's what our Lord did. That's what our Lord said over and over. Listen to John 8:38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do that which you have seen with your Father. John 12:49, the Lord Jesus said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Micaiah was not going to be influenced. A true gospel preacher is not going to be influenced by the pressure of from this world and whoever to say what people want to hear. It's not what God's people want to hear. I thank God for that. With one mouth, it says, with one mouth, the false preachers said the same thing. And with one mouth, the false preachers of this religious world brag on men. They violate the very character of God. They'll make God a sniveling, impotent, hope-so wish, hiding in the corner, waiting on you in order to not violate their own will. And they do it with one mouth. It's all the same message, isn't it? It's the same thing. It's you, you, you. The mark of the beast is man, man, man. But God's preacher is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. We don't have a message of our own. We bring the message of God. An ambassador. He dare not add. He dare not take away from the message that's been delivered unto him to bring to the one intended to hear it. Now look at verse 15. Now don't be confused about Micaiah saying what he did in verse 15. He said, go up and the Lord be with you. It's all going to be fine. He was being sarcastic. Clearly, he didn't change his mind about what to say. He was being sarcastic because that's what everybody else, and he knew what Ahab wanted to hear. And Ahab knew it. He didn't say it in a way where you had to wonder whether he was being sarcastic or not, because Ahab said, you're not telling me the truth. He knew what he was doing. Very clear. He didn't hide the fact that it was sarcasm. Ahab knew exactly, verse 16, what was happening. And look at the false piety of Ahab. Haven't I always told you to tell me the truth? He didn't want to hear the truth. He made that clear. I hate what Micaiah always tells me. I hate him because he never tells me anything good about it. He didn't want to hear the truth. But he's rebuking Micaiah for being sarcastic here. Let's look at verses 17 through 23. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. People of Israel are scattered with no leader because God's going to kill Ahab the king, and the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? No matter what, you tell him a lie and he's like, I wanted you to tell me the truth. You tell him the truth, see there, he never says anything good about me. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. What does God have to say to you tonight? He's on the throne. You see how all-encompassing that is in speaking to Ahab. Here is what God has to say to you, Ahab. You're not God. There's somebody sitting on the throne of glory in this universe, and it's not you. Many times have we seen that in the scriptures. That's the gospel message. It's not up to you. Your decision is meaningless. It's evil, in fact. Your will is horribly depraved. If you ever decide anything, it'll be sin. Everything you do is sin. Everything you say is sin. Everything you are is sin. If you're going to be saved, salvation's of the Lord. He's on the throne. With men, it's impossible. You're impotent. Peter said, I'll stay with you. I will stand up for you. I will die with you. No, Simon, not only are you not going to do that, but you're going to curse me. You're going to deny me. But I will go and prepare a place for you. That's the gospel message. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Have you seen him there? When you see him there, you won't see any use whatsoever in walking down to an altar and making a decision. It'll sound ridiculous, won't it? It'll sound ridiculous. All of the lies of religion, when you understand who's sitting on the throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left, in other words, they're just sitting there waiting. Say the word. So not only does he have all authority, but he commands all power. Everything that happens, happens at his will. He may use an angel. He may use a man. He may not use anybody. But it all happens at his go-ahead. And the Lord said, "Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?" And you see, you remember this scenario here. The Lord saying, Who's going to carry out my purpose? And somebody said, "I'll do it. I'll do it." And he was a lying spirit in the mouths. Of the false prophets. Do you think it's beyond the pale of God's control that people lie about God? Do you think false religion is just like, well, there's a great battle between good and evil going on in the world? No, there's not. No, there's not. Do you see that? Could that be plainer? It was according to God's will. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2:10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." He does it deliberately. He doesn't consult anybody about it. Why would God do that? Because we're evil. Because we deserve it. Because we hate God. Why wouldn't he do that? That they all might be damned. God loves everybody. He does it so people will go to hell. That's why he does it. We'll have to realize who we're dealing with now. "That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because you're smarter than that." Oh, this is so beautiful, isn't it? "Because you decided to believe." No. Because God chose you. We're not congratulating you for this. We're thanking God for it. Because from the beginning, he chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You believe the truth because God picked you out and said, "You're mine. I love you." The difference in them that do not perish is not that they were somehow better or made better decisions than the ones that did. They were chosen through faith in the truth. God, peradventure, gave them repentance because he wanted to. That they might acknowledge the truth, that they might hear the gospel and say, "That's God's truth. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne." Here's the bad news, Ahab. It just keeps getting worse, doesn't it, for Ahab? Somebody's on the throne and it's not you. You're acting like it's you, but it ain't you. Turns out making your own God, Baal, and worshiping however you want to, whoever you want to, is not something that you had the authority to do. It's not something that you had the right to do, turns out. Turns out rejecting Christ, everything that honored and pictured and set forth and exalted Christ, he did away with it. All the things that taught of him and exalted him and the worship of God in him, that's not something that was your prerogative to do. The God you hate is on the throne and you're a goner. That was the message. Into this wretched, religious, false, prophet-filled world. Salvation, it turns out, is not up to you. Your will is not free, and God doesn't need you to do anything for him. I saw him on the throne. And I've just got to tell you that. By God's grace, it's so clear in the scriptures, in the Word of God, that he's on the throne, that he has mercy on whom he will, that he decides who lives and who don't. He quickeneth whom he will, that he is to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. That he's to be approached as the leper did in Matthew 8, acknowledging that all of it hangs upon his will and not mine. Verse 24, we'll try to hurry. Verses 24 and 25, but Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. I suspect Chenaanah remembered that word at some point later in his life. And this is false religion's response always to the truth. Mr. Ironhorns here was offended and violent about it. Just as they smote our Savior on the face and spit on him thousands of years later, it's nothing new. People have been hating Christ long before he was ever born into this world. It wasn't harlots or criminals that punched our Lord in the face either. It was Baptists and Catholics, etc., etc. That's who it was. They didn't call themselves that then, but it's them. It's them. But like this man in our text, one day they're going to see the truth. You're going to understand one of these days. Verse 26, and the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction, until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. I believe that's Micaiah saying that, don't you? Hearken, O people, every one of you. Everybody that was in that chamber, all of the king's men and servants, and those who pledged allegiance to that evil king, he said, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to the truth of God. Hearken unto the truth. You're in on a losing venture. The one you call king is a pawn in the hands of the King of Heaven. Our Lord ate the bread of affliction and drank the water of affliction for us. Isaiah 63:7, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely They are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Verse 29 through 33 in our text, let's look at it. I know I'm going long here, but we should finish this chapter. Not the chapter, but this passage. Verse 29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. But put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. He put a price on his head, a target on his back. It came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. Do you think he was calling for his mama? Or knowing a little bit about Jehoshaphat, you think he cried out to God? God help me. God help me. His concern all along was what God said. What God was going to do. Not what we've decided to do. What is God going to do? And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Even though Jehoshaphat was in a place that he never should have been. Even though because of his own bad decisions, he found himself in the valley of the shadow of death. Just as David said, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Jehoshaphat cried out, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, God will save you. Verse 34, a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. A certain man. This is the gospel preacher. He's not the true prophet. In fact, we don't even know his name. Doesn't matter. Doesn't make any difference who it is. The Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I know what I'm reading unless some man, just whoever God sends, should guide me? He's the gospel preacher. Or all who tell the truth of our Savior and his word. He's used to carry out the word of the Lord. What he did resulted in God's purposes being carried out. This is the means that God uses to carry out his purposes of grace toward his people, the preaching of the gospel. His church. He loved his church and gave himself for it. He's used to carry out the word of the Lord, the truth that Christ spoke. The true prophet comes to pass by means of this man. But he's just some man. The good news and the bad. You know, it was bad. It was all bad for Ahab. But Ahab's death was good for everybody else. Everybody that loved God especially. It's the savor of life and death. And this certain man, no name man, is instrumental in the very purpose of God concerning who lives and who dies. How shall they hear without a preacher? Just a nobody. God's purpose didn't come true because this man was a great marksman. You know why God's purpose did come true and it came to pass? Not because then this man said, what? I'm going to have to hit right in between that armor. I'm going to have to really put a good shot on this one. And he was able to do that because he was so good at archery. No, that's not why. all that God has ordained in the bestowing of eternal life and eternal death by the preaching of Christ. You know how and why all that is fulfilled? Just exactly as Christ revealed, and that we declare by His grace, it's because of what Micaiah saw in verse 19. The Lord's on the throne. It's going to happen just the way God said it did. Not by any skill that we have. God deliberately picked His worst enemy on this earth at the time, Saul of Tarsus, to tell forth the glories of the one who He hated so badly before. The arrow shot at a venture pierces hearts. And it's the savor of death unto some, but to those whom the Lord has ordained to eternal life, the piercing of their heart is life. And the one who judges, the one who determines both outcomes, sits on the throne. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The Lord decided Ahab dies. Jehoshaphat lives, even though everybody that the king of Syria sent out, he said, don't even worry about anybody else. You just kill the king of Israel. And they thought he was it. They all went after him. But God said he lives. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent Him. And may that be the response of our hearts by His grace when we see this beautiful story of our Savior, His Word, the power of His will, His sovereignty in salvation, His sovereignty concerning life and death. May our response be to honor Him, honor the Son, who alone is worthy.